this is a river that's in crisis. Everybody that lives here can see the bathtub ring around Lake Mead, but you know, some of the other 40 million Americans that rely upon the river don't really realize how bad things are out on the river.
That's John Ensminger from the Southern Nevada Water Authority, speaking at a conference in Las Vegas last month. Well, today marks a big deadline for California and six other states that rely on the Colorado River. The federal government asked them to come to an agreement on drastic cuts to their water use, or it would decide those painful cuts for them. California has not submitted a plan as of yet, but the six other states did. 2 decades of drought has really drained the Colorado River to dangerously low levels, and it's now facing something called deadpool. That's a crisis situation where reservoir levels drop so low, water cannot flow downstream. We're going to talk about all this now with Ian James. He's part of a team of reporters at the Los Angeles Times working on a series of stories called Colorado River in Crisis. Ian, welcome back to Press Play.
Thank you, Madeline. Good to be here.
Well, you recently traveled around this area and looked at the two big reservoirs that store the water that these states use. And these two reservoirs are Lake Mead and Lake Powell. They are the largest reservoirs in the country. What do they look like right now?
They're both about 3/4 empty. And Lake Powell has declined a lot over the past 2 decades to the point that a lot of the sediment that was deposited in the reservoir over many years is now exposed and forming these new formations of mud and silt that are dried and kind of a bizarre landscape there.
Yeah. So explain further what this idea of deadpool is and what happens if we reach it.
The real danger and the risk that has become apparent over the past year in the projections relates to Lake Mead and the possibility that the water level could get so low at Hoover Dam that water would no longer be able to pass downstream to California, Arizona, and Mexico. And that possibility of actually running out of water has appeared as a risk in the projections that look out about 2 years from the federal government. And so that's what's been really setting off alarm bells and creating real impetus to move towards some type of an approach to rapidly use less water from the river.
All right. So the states involved are Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, and California. All but California submitted a plan. Why didn't California?
California, as I understand it, disagrees with some of this proposal from the six states, and that partly has to do with starting to account for evaporation in the lower basin, which is the three states of California, Arizona, and Nevada. Because California uses such a large share of the river, starting to account for evaporation in that way or using that formula would mean especially large cuts for California. But on the other hand, some of California's water districts have very senior rights. And so they say that what some of the other states appear to be trying to do is to jump the line in that priority water rights system and benefit from it. So they are saying they understand the need to reduce water use and California will be a part of it, but they want that water rights system to be upheld. So it's likely that now on deadline day, California will be coming forth with its own counter proposal that will look a bit different.
What does California use this water for?
Most of the water that California diverts from the Colorado River goes to agriculture, a lot of it in the Imperial Valley, as well as the Palo Verde Valley. And this water is used to grow all sorts of crops from lettuce to carrots, as well as hay. Much of the water goes to agriculture. Of course, Southern California's cities rely for a large share of their water from the Colorado River as well. So it's really vital for the whole region.
Okay. So in general, though, California is arguing, look, we grow a lot of the nation's lettuce and other vegetables in the Imperial Valley. So we really need this water. Arizona, on the other hand, you're using it, as I understand, this is the argument, to create more subdivisions in the desert. And the water is used for residential use, which is not as important?
I think that is part of the tension in all this is the urban agricultural divide. But you know, Arizona uses Colorado River water for agriculture too. There is, has been a lot of growth in Arizona. But fundamentally, I think the disagreement between California and these other states relates to how the cuts end up being divided and how the water rights priority system is taken into account or not in that. And Arizona, in particular, its cities rely on the Central Arizona Project, which was completed in the early 90s and has very junior rights, and so is more vulnerable to those first cuts. So a lot of it is kind of a push and pull to try to figure out how to divide the water reductions. And although today is deadline day that the federal government set, the people that I've spoken with at various water districts expect that the discussions and the talks will continue among the states to try to come up with a consensus that everyone could live with.
Well, how much time do we have? Because the water is running out and the drought is not going away, and neither is climate change. So it seems like time is of the essence.
It certainly is. And the federal government, I don't think, is likely to let this slide very much. They've said they want to have what they call a draft environmental impact statement prepared by the end of March. So the federal government is moving ahead and looking at its options to scale back water use. And whatever proposals it receives from the states will be part of that as the federal government looks at what it may do to deal with this situation.
So the federal government will be the ultimate arbiter?
Yes, but the states also have a big role to play. Of course, tribes receive water from the Colorado River too. They are, so there are many different parties involved in this. The federal government, I think, doesn't want to just impose something that would then end up in court and potentially be challenged by California water districts. So that's part of the politics that are playing out right now, is trying to find common ground that everyone could live with.
But the final common ground is we will need to use less water here.
Correct.
In California, in Southern California. And are there any estimates as to how much less water we will have to use?
The federal government has said that really dealing with the water deficit would involve reducing annual water use by 2 to 4 million acre feet across the region. That works out to approximately 15% to 30%. So it's a significant share, and how that is divided among the states, that's what they're discussing right now, but certainly a big reduction.
So it's not just these states that use this water. Also, Native American tribes use it, and Mexico uses it. So how do they figure right into all this?
Well, Mexico has already agreed to reduce its use under a previous agreement between the U.S. and Mexico. And so far, last year and this year, that's led to reductions in water use for agriculture in Mexico. So farmers are figuring out how to use a bit less water. And the expectation is that Mexico will continue to participate in reductions. And Mexico's piece of the river is relatively small compared to the U.S. states. It's 1.5 million acre feet. And that's laid out in a 1944 water treaty. What's happened over the past half century or so is that with the construction of the dams, less water has been left flowing in the delta in Mexico. And so much of what was once this vast watery ecosystem has dried up there. And that's also a concern, is how much water may be left for the environment. There have been efforts over the past several years by conservation groups to put some water into a series of wetlands in the Delta area to try to bring back some of what's been lost in Mexico. But the expectation is that's going to be getting harder as there are just so many pressures on the water supply and only so much to go around.
So if indeed farmers in the Imperial Valley have to accept water cuts and are forced to fallow their land, where will these vegetables be grown?
That's an important question. How might this affect food production? I think a lot of the farmers who I've spoken with in the Imperial Valley say that they hope to, as much as possible, absorb reductions through efficiency improvements and minimize the amount of farmland that would be fallowed, both because of the effects on food production as well as the effects on the local economy. How much land fallowing may need to happen is something that hasn't yet been spelled out.
Ian James is an environmental reporter for the Los Angeles Times, where he's working on a series there called Colorado River in Crisis. So go check that out. It's both written and also a podcast. Ian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.